Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're setting our sights on an organization that might seem, at first glance, to be all about concrete and runways. But trust me, Aéroports de Paris, or Group ADP, as it's known, is far more intricate and absolutely fascinating. We're talking about a major global airport operator that connects millions of lives and vast economies every single day.
Yeah.
Our mission today is to take a comprehensive investment research analysis, a deep stack of sources that offer, you know, a panoramic view of their operations, and unpack the surprising dynamics and strategic shifts happening within Group ADP. This isn't about giving you a stock tip, not at all. It's about providing you with a shortcut to being well-informed, to truly understand what makes this global giant tick, the unique challenges it navigates, and where its most compelling, sometimes surprising opportunities lie.
And at its very core, what's truly fascinating here is that ADP isn't just one type of business model. It's a truly complex, almost contradictory blend. On one side, you have these stable, almost utility-like Parisian airport operations, providing a bedrock of consistent regulated revenue.
Right.
But on the other, there's this high-growth, higher-risk international portfolio. Understanding this inherent tension, this dual nature, is absolutely central to grasping ADP's future trajectory. It's the complexity that truly defines their story, making it far more than just, you know, managing runways.
That's such a critical framing, because when we talk about what it takes to run not just one, but a whole network of the world's busiest airports, it immediately begs the question, why should you, our listener, care about the financial deep dives into these global giants? It's because understanding ADP isn't just about aviation. It's about understanding the very fabric of global infrastructure that connects us all. It's about seeing what it truly takes for a company like this to not only recover from seismic shifts like a pandemic, but to thrive in an increasingly complex and interconnected world. So let's unpack it. To truly understand ADP, we have to start where it all began. Its powerful Parisian core. Imagine the beating heart of European aviation, a strategic hub built on assets so dominant they're practically irreplaceable. We're talking about ADP's ownership and comprehensive management of the three primary Paris airports, the undisputed powerhouse, Charles de Gaulle, the workhorse, Orly, and the highly specialized Le Bourget. Let's zoom in on Charles de Gaulle, or CDG. It's not just an airport, it's the flagship, a premier global hub for international and long-haul traffic. In 2023 alone, it welcomed a staggering 67.4 million passengers, consistently ranking among the top five busiest airports worldwide.
Huge numbers.
And here's a crucial differentiator. It serves as the primary hub for Air France. That symbiotic relationship creates a powerful network effect, securing its position for intercontinental transfers. Then you have Orly, which in 2023 served 32.3 million passengers, primarily focusing on point-to-point traffic within France and Europe, though it's also expanding its reach to North Africa and French overseas territories.
And it's getting a major upgrade, right?
Exactly. It's currently undergoing a significant modernization project, merging its south and west terminals, which promises enhanced passenger experience and crucial operational efficiency. And finally, Le Bourget. This isn't where you catch your family vacation flight. This is Europe's undisputed leading business aviation airport, catering to a very distinct high-value segment.
Home of the Paris Air Show.
Famously, yeah, the longtime home of the biennial Paris Air Show, a showcase for the global aerospace industry.
What's fascinating here is that these airports are far more than just transit points or, you know, concrete expanses. They are strategic, critical national infrastructure that would be nearly impossible to replicate today. Think about the sheer scale.
Yeah.
Securing the vast swaths of land required, navigating the complex permitting processes, gaining environmental approvals amidst growing public scrutiny, and the monumental capital outlay, it's simply prohibitive. Mm-hmm. These assets serve the Île-de-France region, which is not only a major global economic hub, but also the world's leading tourist destination. That provides ADP with an enormous and incredibly resilient catchment area, ensuring a strong base of what we call origin destination traffic. These aren't just passengers connecting through Paris. They're starting or ending their journeys there, and that's a much more stable and, frankly, lucrative passenger flow.
That makes sense.
This inherent geographical advantage gives ADP a truly formidable competitive moat in its home market, something few other airport operators can really claim.
So, with those foundational assets in mind, let's dive into how ADP actually generates its revenue. We need to deconstruct their value chain segment by segment. This is where we really start to see the strategic pivot ADP has been making in recent years. ADP's operations are actually split into four distinct business segments, each with its own unique revenue models and, importantly, different margin profiles. First up, we have Aviation, Paris. This is what you might consider the traditional regulated core of the business. Its revenue sources are what you'd expect. The airport fees charged to airlines, including passenger fees, landing fees for aircraft, and aircraft parking fees, plus safety and security services. In 2023, this segment brought in a substantial $1,910 million in revenue and $511 million in EBITDA.
And this is where we immediately see the direct structural impact of external factors. A new French transport infrastructure tax introduced in 2024 directly hit this segment. Despite a healthy 7.5% revenue growth in 2024, climbing to $2,054 million, the EBITDA, that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, a key measure of a company's underlying operating profitability, kind of stripping out the noise of financing or accounting for big assets, actually declined by 3.1% to $495 million.
Ouch.
Yeah. This $131 million tax hit is a direct structural erosion of profitability for the core Parisian business, demonstrating significant margin pressure even when the top line is growing. It's a clear and powerful example of how regulatory changes, even for a state-controlled entity, can immediately affect financial performance and create headwinds.
That makes the next segment even more vital, doesn't it? Because if the core aviation business is somewhat constrained by regulation, where does ADP truly find its profit engine?
I'm thinking about those airport retail spaces, which historically might have been seen as an afterthought by passengers or just a convenience. Precisely. And that brings us to retail and services. Paris. This is ADP's highest margin segment, and it's increasingly becoming the key focus of their strategy. It covers revenue from all those shops, bars, restaurants, car parks, advertising spaces, and commercial lounges you encounter within the Parisian airports.
Right.
But ADP isn't just putting more shops in an airport. They've fundamentally reinvented that space with what they call the X-Time phenomenon. This is a fundamental and incredibly successful shift in how they monetize passenger traffic. Imagine converting mandatory transit time into a curated shopping and dining experience.
Turning waiting into wanting, almost.
Exactly. It turns a necessary wait into a desirable retail or leisure opportunity. They're creating an environment designed to make you want to spend more, stay longer, and enjoy the experience, transforming it into a boutique terminal concept, curating unique experiences categorized as lifestyle, premium, and exclusive.
And the numbers really speak to that success.
Yeah.
What have those results look like, particularly in terms of sales per passenger, that SPP metric?
The results have been exceptional. Sales per passenger, or SPP, at X-Time Paris reached a record 32.1 in 2024, up from 30.6 in 2023. But what's even more striking and truly highlights the power of this strategy is the SPP in places like CDG Terminal 1, where it hit an impressive 87.60 in 2024.
87 euros.
Yeah, it's huge. This is the key value creation driver for ADP, demonstrating how effective this high margin strategy is. However, even this segment, despite its robust 9.3% revenue growth in 2024 to $1,930 million, felt the sting of that new infrastructure tax, with EBITDA falling 5.5% to $735 million. It also faced an unfavorable comparison base due to some one-off proceeds in 2023.
Oh, okay.
This really underlines the pervasive impact of that tax across their domestic operations, even on their most profitable endeavors.
Then there's the real estate segment, which is all about monetizing ADP's vast land holdings around the Parisian airports. This is where the airport city concept truly comes alive, developing and leasing offices, hotels, cargo terminals, and logistics warehouses.
This segment stands out for its resilience and stability, providing a steady stream of rental income. Crucially, these contracts often have built-in inflation protection through indexation clauses, making it less susceptible to the direct fluctuations of passenger traffic.
Smart.
It's about creating diversified traffic-independent revenue streams right there on airport land. In 2024, revenue grew a solid 6.1% to $332 million, and EBITDA jumped an impressive 18.1% to $254 million, even with a $12 million impact from that new tax. This is a clear demonstration of a diversified and robust revenue stream within the Parisian core that offers a lot of stability.
And finally, we arrive at international and airport development. This segment houses ADP's portfolio of international airport concessions, investments, and management contracts, and it has emerged as the group's single primary growth driver.
This is truly where the strategic imperative comes into play. The surge in the segment revenue up 20.9% to $1,971 million and EBITDA climbing a remarkable 29.4% to $546 million in 2024 starkly contrasts with the margin pressures we just discussed in the Parisian segments.
Huge difference.
It means that international expansion isn't just an opportunity. It's becoming a necessity to offset the domestic margin erosion caused by factors like the new infrastructure tax. This fundamentally alters ADP's investment case. It's no longer just a pure French utility. It's now a complex, multinational infrastructure holding company, which, of course, comes with new risks, think geopolitical instability and currency volatility for markets like Turkey and India.
Right, new challenges.
And that $330 million non-cash accounting charge from the GMR Airports merger in 2024 is a tangible example of the new financial complexities and potential earnings volatility that come with this amplified international exposure. This wasn't money out the door, but think of it as a significant paper loss and accounting adjustment that reflects the changing value of their investment on the balance sheet, which can create volatility in their reported earnings.
That's a critical point for understanding their shifting identity. So let's dive deeper into that global footprint. ADP has significant stakes in two major players, TAV Airports and GMR Airports. Can you walk us through those? Let's start with TAV Airports, where ADP owns a 46.1% stake. TAV operates an impressive portfolio of airports, primarily in Turkey, but also extending into Georgia, Kazakhstan, North Macedonia, and Croatia. This portfolio has demonstrated strong growth, with its traffic increasing by 11.5% in 2024 to an impressive 106.5 million passengers.
That's a lot of people.
It really is. This operational strength directly translated into a 27.2% increase in TAV's revenue, reaching $1,660 million for the year. A key recent growth project here is the expansion of Almaty Airport in Kazakhstan, which is a significant regional hub.
And then there's GMR Airports, where ADP holds about 49% stake. This gives ADP crucial exposure to the high-growth Indian aviation market, which is one of the fastest growing in the world, driven by a burgeoning middle class and increasing air travel accessibility. GMR's network handled a massive 117.6 million passengers in 2024, marking a year-on-year increase of 9.1%.
India is a huge market.
Huge. As you mentioned, in 2024, there was a major corporate development with the merger of GMR Infrastructure and GMR Airports. While this was a strategic move to streamline the holding structure, it did result in that one-off non-cash accounting charge of $330 million for Group ADP. This perfectly illustrates the new financial complexities and potential earnings volatility that come with venturing into these international markets, even when the underlying operational growth is robust. It's a reminder that global expansion brings both opportunity and new layers of financial intricacy.
So, as you can clearly hear, ADP isn't just about Paris anymore. They are making strategic moves globally, expanding their footprint aggressively. But what does that mean for how it competes and recovers in a post-pandemic world, especially given the varying speeds of recovery across different regions? Let's zoom out and look at the broader European landscape. That brings us to Europe's multi-speed airport recovery. While there's broad recovery across the continent, with overall European passenger traffic exceeding 2019 levels by 1.8% in 2024, that aggregate figure really masks some significant shifts and divergent paths. Not uniform rebound, is it?
No, absolutely not. What's truly fascinating here is that the recovery is largely propelled by international traffic, which saw an impressive 8.8% growth in 2024, driven by strong demand for leisure and visiting friends and relatives, VFR travel. People are eager to reconnect and explore. In stark contrast, domestic traffic across Europe remains structurally weaker, still lagging 2019 levels by 6.3%. Paris mirrors this trend, with its domestic traffic actually declining by 4.9% in 2024. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we see a distinct multi-speed market emerging across Europe.
How so?
Well, airports in Southern and Eastern Europe, particularly those relying on tourism, like Spain with traffic up 13% and Italy up 17% against 2019 levels, have seen the strongest rebounds. Meanwhile, major hubs in Northern and Western Europe, such as Germany, still remain 16.6% below 2019 traffic levels, and France is 3.0% below.
Big difference.
Huge. This divergence reflects fundamental structural changes in travel patterns, the strategic growth of low-cost carriers, and even geopolitical factors influencing traveler choices. It's a complex mosaic, not a simple picture.
So how does ADP stack up in this evolving, uneven landscape? Let's talk about their competitive moat. Their core competitive advantage is genuinely unrivaled, the strategic location of their Parisian airports. They serve the Île-de-France region, which accounts for roughly 30% of French GDP, is the world's number one tourist destination, and boasts a population of 25 million people within a 200-kilometer radius.
That's a massive base.
It creates a massive, economically powerful base of origin-destination traffic that's far less susceptible to diversion than, say, purely connecting traffic. Think of it like a castle's defenses. ADP's Parisian airports have such a deep, uncrossable moat strategic location, massive catchment area, unique assets, that it's incredibly hard for competitors to challenge their core position for that initial and final leg of a journey.
This raises an important question, though. How does that competitive moat interact with the hub dynamics? CDG's status as a major global hub is intrinsically linked to its symbiotic relationship with its home carrier, Air France KLM.
Right, the partnership.
Recognizing the increasing competitive pressure from non-European hubs, especially the rapidly growing Middle Eastern hubs, ADP and Air France have launched the Connect France initiative. This strategic partnership aims to deepen their collaboration, not just on paper, but to truly improve operational efficiency, streamline passenger connections, like offering a short connection pass to alleviate transfer stress and enhance the overall competitiveness of the Paris hub against these formidable global rivals.
Sounds necessary.
It's a proactive, necessary move to defend their market position and ensure Paris remains a preferred transfer point.
But despite these inherent strengths, ADP operates in a fiercely competitive environment. They're not alone in the skies, are they? They're vying for that lucrative intercontinental transfer traffic with other major European hubs like London Heathrow, which in 2024 was Europe's busiest airport with 83.9 million passengers, followed closely by Istanbul at 80.1 million, with Paris CDG ranking third at 70.3 million.
Stiff competition.
It's very. Amsterdam and Frankfurt are also key competitors. And these rivals often benefit from more favorable tax and regulatory frameworks, posing a real threat of silent offshoring of traffic, where airlines might choose a different hub due to lower costs or fewer operational hurdles. The Connect France initiative is trying to combat this. And closer to home, for domestic and short-haul European routes, high-speed rail presents a significant and growing competitive threat, actively diverting passengers who might otherwise fly.
And the slower recovery of the core Paris hub relative to peers like London and Madrid is a strategic vulnerability that needs to be acknowledged. While Group ADP's overall traffic is robust due to the outperformance of its international assets, the lag at CDG suggests a potential erosion of market share in that critical connecting traffic segment. This really reinforces why the high-margin X-time retail strategy is so critically important. If they're not seeing the same volume growth in connecting passengers as some rivals, it becomes absolutely essential for extracting more value per passenger who does pass through their Parisian gates. It's about quality of spend, not just quantity of passengers, for the Parisian business, making every passenger count more.
That puts a fine point on it, and it makes you wonder, how does ADP truly stand when we benchmark it against its publicly listed European peers like Freeport, Zurich, and Vienna? It's definitely a mixed picture from what I saw. In terms of traffic recovery, Paris Airport reached 92.3% of its 2019 levels in 2023. That's slightly behind Vienna's 93.3%, but comfortably ahead of Frankfurt's 84%. Zurich's recovery was quite similar at 91.7%. So they're in the ballpark, but not leading the pack.
When we look at profitability, specifically the EBITDA margin, ADP's 35.6% in 2023 was certainly superior to Freiport's 30.1%. However, it lagged significantly behind Zurich's impressive 54.7% and Vienna's 42.2%.
Gap there with Zurich especially.
Huge gap. This really highlights that European airports aren't homogenous. They have very different operating models and, crucially, different regulatory environments. Zurich, for example, appears to be a much more efficient or favorably regulated operator, achieving substantially higher margins. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, in terms of leverage measured by net debt to EBITDA, ADP's ratio of 4.1x in 2023 was better than Fraport's 6.4x.
Which is quite high for Fraport.
Very high. But ADP was substantially more leveraged than Zurich's 1.64x, and certainly much higher than Vienna, which actually had a net cash position. So the numbers tell us ADP is fundamentally sound, but its financial structure carries more debt than some of its top-tier peers.
So it's clear these aren't interchangeable entities. What do these numbers tell us about ADP's financial health and its ability to grow, particularly given these diverging models across Europe?
Indeed. The peer comparison reveals a fundamental divergence in emerging business models across Europe. Zurich seems to be a highly efficient, high-margin operator, primarily focused on its core hub, seemingly optimized for profitability within its existing structure. Fraport is also internationally diversified but carries very high leverage, indicating a different risk profile. ADP, as we discussed earlier, is pursuing a more balanced model, combining a regulated, mature home base in Paris with aggressive international expansion into higher growth but also higher risk markets.
The two sides again.
Exactly. This means that investors cannot simply view European airports as a homogenous group for comparison. ADP's unique dual structure requires a distinct valuation approach that blends a mature infrastructure valuation for Paris with a growth-oriented valuation for its international portfolio. The numbers tell us ADP is financially robust, but its path to growth and deleveraging is more complex, multifaceted than some of its peers, requiring a nuanced understanding of these different segments.
Let's talk about the hard numbers now and how they tell the story of ADP's recovery and strategic moves. What does ADP's revenue and traffic recovery trajectory look like coming out of the pandemic? The good news is they've demonstrated a strong and consistent comeback in both group-level passenger traffic and revenue since 2022. Just looking at the raw figures, the total group traffic surged from 280.4 million passengers in 2022, which was about 80.9% of 2019 levels, to 336.4 million in 2023, hitting an impressive 98.7% of 2019.
Almost back.
Almost back. And by 2024, they actually surpassed pre-pandemic volumes, reaching 363.7 million passengers group-wide. The recovery at their core, Paris Airport, has also been solid, growing from 86.7 million passengers in 2022 to 103.4 million in 2024. This traffic recovery, combined with tariff increases and strong retail performance, has driven robust top-line growth. Consolidated revenue increased a significant 17.2% from 4,688 million in 2022 for 5,495 million in 2023.
Strong growth.
And this growth continued into 2024, with revenue reaching an all-time high of $6,158 million, a year-on-year increase of 12.1%. That momentum was sustained even into the first half of 2024, seeing revenue rise 13.4% compared to the first half of 2023. So the top-line story is one of strong, continued recovery and growth.
What's fascinating here is that while the revenue growth has been undeniably strong, the group's profitability trajectory has been much more complex, influenced by operating leverage, one-off items, and notably those new taxes we discussed. Recurring EBITDA, which is a key measure of underlying operating performance and profitability, grew a solid 14.8% in 2023 to $1,956 million.
Okay.
However, that growth moderated significantly to just 5.7% in 2024, with EBITDA reaching 2,000 euros billion. This slowdown in EBITDA growth, despite a strong 12.1% increase in revenue, is a clear signal of margin pressure.
Right, the tax effect again.
Exactly. And as we discussed, this margin compression is primarily attributable to the introduction of that new 131 million infrastructure tax in France. This raises an important question for investors. It means future revenue growth for the domestic business may not translate to profit as efficiently as it has in the past, putting pressure on overall margins.
And the net income numbers, the bottom line, can be a bit confusing at first glance. Reported net income attributable to the group fell sharply in 2024 to $342 million. That sounds quite dramatic, especially after such strong revenue growth.
This is exactly where understanding the nuances of financial reporting is critical. That dramatic decline was entirely due to a substantial €330 million non-cash accounting charge related to the GMR Airports merger in India.
The paper loss.
The paper loss, exactly. As we discussed, this wasn't cash leaving the bank, it was an accounting adjustment. If you exclude this one-off item and other non-recurring effects, the underlying net income for 2024 was actually $638 million, representing a very healthy 15.6% increase over the prior year. So while the reported number might look concerning, it gives us a much clearer picture of the group's true underlying operational earnings power, which remains robust despite the headwinds. It's a good example of why you need to dig beneath the headlines in financial reporting.
So let's pivot to the balance sheet strength and capital structure. It's common for capital-intensive infrastructure companies like airports to operate with a leveraged balance sheet, given the massive upfront investment required, and ADP is no exception. We've seen their net financial debt trend upwards, increasing from $7,440 million at year-end 2022 to $7,934 million at year-end 2023, and further to $8,572 million by the end of 2024.
While the absolute debt amount has risen, what's crucial is the leverage ratio, specifically net debt to EBITDA. That ratio has remained relatively stable due to the strong earnings growth we just discussed. After improving from 4.4x at the end of 2022 to 4.1x at the end of 2023, it held steady at 4.1x at the end of 2024.
Okay, so stable, but still elevated compared to some peers.
Exactly. However, ADP has a stated target to bring this ratio into a range of 3.5x to 4.0x by 2025. The stalling of deleveraging in 2024, despite strong EBITDA growth, is significant. It implies that debt is growing at a similar pace to earnings, likely due to the funding of the increased capital expenditure program. This puts the 2025 target at risk if EBITDA growth moderates or if CapEx accelerates further, and it could potentially impact the sustainability of the dividend policy in the longer term. It's a delicate balance they need to manage closely.
This brings us to ADP's strategic growth levers. Going beyond their core operations, we've already touched on it, but let's revisit Xtime, the retail revolution. Because it's truly a paradigm shift in airport retail. How are they executing this, and what makes it so revolutionary? It's a holistic strategy that integrates everything from traditional retail under the Xtime duty-free brand to lounges with Xtime Lounge and even advertising through Xtime Media, all under a single cohesive brand identity. They're developing a digital ecosystem too, with an online marketplace, Xtime.com, and a loyalty program called Xtime Rewards, designed to engage passengers and drive sales even before they arrive at the airport.
Trying to capture the whole journey.
It's exactly. Their goal is to transform airside areas into curated boutique terminals with distinct lifestyle, premium, and exclusive offerings tailored to different passenger segments, just like a high-end hotel or shopping mall. The performance here is stellar, with record sales per passenger, SPP, at Xtime Paris reaching 32.1 in 2024. And they've upgraded their 2025 SPP growth forecast to a range of plus 4% to plus 6% versus 2023 levels, showing real confidence.
That's bullish.
It is. The rollout is already evident, with CDG Terminal 1 serving as the show flat, and major upcoming projects, including the transformation of Orly Terminal 4 into La Rue Parisienne by mid-2026, and a multi-year redesign of the highly lucrative CDG Terminal 2E. Crucially, they're also exporting this model via franchising, with the first Xtime Lounge open in Almaty, Kazakhstan, and Xtime Media launching in Amman, Jordan. This isn't just a Parisian experiment, it's a global strategy.
Building on that, the airport city concept is another strategic lever, focusing on monetizing ADP's vast real estate portfolio. This isn't just about renting out spare land or parking lots, it's about leveraging their extensive land holdings for the strategic development and leasing of offices, hotels, and particularly important for global commerce, cargo terminals, and logistics warehouses.
Creating value from land they already own.
Precisely. This creates a diversified and resilient revenue stream that's largely independent of passenger traffic fluctuations. Consider the cargo city at Paris CDG, which is the largest in Europe dedicated to freight, or the Cour d'Orly Business Ecodistrict, which is developing into a vibrant mixed-use area. This segment has consistently proven to be a source of stable growth, with revenue increasing by 6.1% in 2024, driven by new rental income and inflation-linked contract escalations. It truly adds a layer of diversification to ADP's business model, providing a steady base that can cushion against volatility in other segments.
Now let's talk about capacity management, because there's a really interesting, even counterintuitive story here with the Terminal 4 project. The French government, back in February 2021, made the big decision to abandon the proposed $9 billion Terminal 4 project at CDG due to a combination of environmental opposition and revised traffic forecasts post-pandemic. From the outside, that sounds like a major setback, potentially stifling growth.
This is where it gets really interesting, and why it can actually be viewed as a strategic blessing in disguise for ADP. Think about it. That project would have represented a massive capital outlay on a single high-risk mega project, with significant execution risk and uncertain long-term demand given the post-COVID landscape.
A huge bet.
A huge bet. Its cancellation has effectively freed up capital and, crucially, management focus. This enabled the pivot towards the demonstrably high-return Xtime retail strategy we just discussed, and also opened up opportunities for value-accretive international acquisitions, like their increased stakes in TAV and GMR. Arguably, this shift from a single, concentrated, high-risk project to a more diversified and modular growth strategy has fundamentally de-risked ADP's long-term plan and significantly improved its overall capital efficiency.
So less risk, more flexibility.
Exactly. However, it's important to note that despite this cancellation, capital expenditure is still increasing for the group, with guidance rising to an average of $1.4 billion for 2025. This reflects the ongoing essential need to maintain and modernize existing infrastructure, adapt new aircraft technologies, and continually enhance service quality. The investments are still happening, just in a different, arguably smarter and more diversified way.
So given all these strategic shifts and financial realities, the strong recovery, the tax hits, the international pivot, the X Times success, and the Terminal 4 cancellation, how is ADP balancing its capital allocation? They've outlined four key priorities, which at times seem to be in a real tug of war. Can you break those down? These priorities are, first, infrastructure investment, with that rising capital expenditure guided at up to $1.4 billion for the group in 2025. Second, deleveraging, with a target of reducing the net debt-to-EBITDA ratio to between 3.5x and 4.0 by 2025. Third, shareholder returns, maintaining a dividend policy with a 60% net income payout and a floor of 3.0 per share for 2024 and 2025, with the proposed dividend for FY 2024 indeed being 3.00. And fourth, pursuing selective external growth projects in international geographies, which, as we saw, are their primary growth engine.
This truly is a delicate balancing act, a tug of war for capital. With the leverage ratio at 4.1x at the end of 2024 and that rising CapEx budget, achieving all four of these goals simultaneously will be challenging without exceptionally strong, sustained EBIT growth.
Something's got to give.
Potentially. For an investor, this raises an important question. If they push too hard on deleveraging, will it mean slowing down crucial infrastructure upgrades in Paris? Or if they chase too many international growth opportunities, could it put pressure on that dividend payout investors expect, or delay their deleveraging goals? It suggests that in the medium term, one of these priorities may need to yield. This could lead to slower deleveraging than targeted, a reevaluation of the dividend floor post-2025, or a more constrained approach to international mergers and acquisitions. It's a complex situation that investors will be watching extremely closely to see where ADP chooses to prioritize its finite capital.
So ADP is clearly recovering strongly and has exciting growth strategies like Xtime. But the numbers also reveal challenges, especially around debt and the impact of regulation. What does this all mean for how the French government and ADP itself interact? And what unique risks does that relationship create? This brings us to a defining feature of ADP, the complex relationship between the company and the French economic regulation model. Historically, their profitability for the core Parisian aeronautical activities was determined by five-year economic regulation agreements, or ERAs. These provided long-term visibility on investments, service quality, and crucially, the fees ADP could charge, offering certainty for both ADP and its airline customers.
And this is a critical issue that creates significant uncertainty. The proposed 2021-2025 ERA was actually nullified by the seismic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Since then, they've reverted to a cumbersome annual tariff approval process, which has been criticized by all stakeholders, including the regulator itself, for lacking sufficient long-term visibility for financing major investments.
Not ideal for planning huge projects.
Not ideal at all. The absence of a multi-year ERA since 2020 represents the single largest source of uncertainty for the company. Without a clear five-year view on tariffs, capital expenditures, and the allowed rate of return on its regulated asset base, which is essentially the value of the assets on which the regulator allows ADP to earn a guaranteed return, a fundamental part of how stable infrastructure companies are valued, it becomes extremely difficult for investors to model future cash flows from the core Parisian business with confidence. This ongoing uncertainty likely contributes to a valuation discount compared to peers with more stable, predictable regulatory frameworks.
So what's the path forward there?
The defining catalyst here will be the upcoming negotiation for a new multi-year ERA, which is targeted for implementation at the start of 2027. In the interim, for the 2025 tariff period, ADP has proposed an average fee increase of 4.5%. This 2027 negotiation will involve a complex balancing of interests between ADP, which is seeking a fair return on its investments to satisfy its shareholders, the airlines, which are looking to control their costs and keep tickets affordable, and the government, which, as we'll discuss, acts as both shareholder and regulator.
A tricky negotiation.
Very. The outcome of these negotiations will set the profitability of the core business for the subsequent 5 years and will undoubtedly be a major market-moving event for the company's valuation.
This highlights another defining feature, The French government's 50.6% majority stake in Group ADP. This immediately creates an inherent potential for conflicts of interest, doesn't it? Because the state wears many hats here.
Absolutely. The state effectively plays a tripartite role here, and it's this unique dynamic that adds a layer of complexity not seen in fully privatized airport operators. The state acts as a shareholder, benefiting from dividends. It acts as a regulator, setting tariffs and operational rules. And it's also the concession grantor, dictating the terms under which ADP operates.
So shareholder, rulemaker, and landlord, basically.
Pretty much. This dynamic is perfectly illustrated by real-world examples. The government's decision to abandon the Terminal 4 project, which we discussed earlier, clearly demonstrated its ultimate authority over strategic infrastructure decisions, overriding ADP's own plans. Similarly, the imposition of that new transport infrastructure tax in 2024 directly reduced the profits of a company in which the state is the largest shareholder. This powerfully highlights the inherent tension between the government's fiscal policy objectives and its interests as an equity owner. It's a constant balancing act.
So beyond that complex state relationship and regulatory uncertainty, what are the other key investment risks that ADP faces as it navigates this global landscape? First, there's the pervasive macroeconomic sensitivity. Air travel is highly cyclical and extremely sensitive to changes in GDP growth, corporate profitability, and consumer discretionary spending. A significant economic downturn anywhere in the world would inevitably lead to reduced travel demand, negatively impacting all of the company's revenue streams, from airport fees to retail sales.
Then, as we've extensively detailed, regulatory and political risk is paramount. The uncertainty surrounding the next multi-year ERA for the Paris airports creates a significant lack of visibility into the future profitability of the group's core assets. Moreover, the company remains exposed to the risk of new targeted taxes, as demonstrated by that 2024 infrastructure levy, which could further erode margins.
That tax keeps coming up.
It's a big deal. And because the French state holds a majority ownership, political considerations can, and sometimes do, override purely commercial ones, adding another layer of unpredictability that can be challenging for investors to model.
Finally, we have operational and competitive threats. This includes things like labor relations, the aviation sector is heavily unionized, and ADP's operations are vulnerable to disruptions from strikes by its own employees or those of partners like air traffic controllers. Such events can lead to significant financial losses and reputational damage.
And don't forget geopolitical and security risks. Air travel is highly sensitive to regional conflicts, terrorism, and pandemics. The 4.4% decline in traffic at Amman Airport in 2024, despite an otherwise resilient performance, is a direct example of how regional instability can immediately impact operations and profitability in their international portfolio.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And of course, there's the ongoing competition from other major European hubs for transfer traffic and from high-speed rail for domestic and short-haul European routes. It's a multifaceted risk environment. What's fascinating here is that amidst all these financial and operational risks, ADP is also making significant environmental commitments. They've strategically integrated decarbonization into their 2025 Pioneers roadmap. The group has committed to achieving carbon neutrality for its Parisian airports by 2030, a truly ambitious goal.
Carbon neutral by 2030 for Paris is big.
It is. Their initiatives include supporting the aviation industry's transition to low-carbon fuels, optimizing air traffic procedures like continuous descent approaches to reduce noise and emissions, and investing in green buildings. This isn't just about corporate responsibility. This decarbonization strategy is a strategic imperative because airlines are increasingly scrutinizing their airport partners for their environmental footprint, and investors are factoring ESG performance into their long-term valuations. It's about securing their license to operate in a greener future and maintaining their attractiveness as a global player.
And on that note, Sustainalytics, an independent ESG rating agency, assigned Group ADP a medium ESG risk rating of 20.7. which places it squarely in the middle of its peer group, ranking 117th out of 172 companies in the transportation infrastructure industry. So they're neither leading nor lagging significantly in that regard. So as you can hear, ADP faces internal strategic choices and external market competition, but also the unique challenge of a majority state owner and an uncertain regulatory path. What does all this mean for its value and future outlook? How do investors even begin to measure the worth of such a complex, intertwined entity? That brings us to the investment puzzle. How do we value a company like ADP? For capital-intensive infrastructure companies, the most relevant multiple is enterprise value to EBITDA, or EBITDEB. It's great because it's independent of capital structure and depreciation policies, giving a clear picture of operational performance relative to total company value. Based on year-end 2023 financials, ADP's EBITDA was 9.8x.
If we compare that to its peers, ADP's 9.8 was actually slightly lower than Fraport's 10.2x, but quite similar to Zurich at 9.7x and Vienna at 9.6x. So on that key metric, it trades broadly in line with its direct competitors.
Okay, middle of the pack there.
Right. When we look at shareholder returns, ADP has a stated policy of a 60% payout of net attributable income with a floor of 3.00 per share for both 2024 and 2025. The proposed dividend for FY 2024 of 3.00 translates to an approximate dividend yield of 2.7% based on recent share prices. This yield can then be benchmarked against other infrastructure assets or even government bond yields to assess its relative attractiveness for income-focused investors.
That yield isn't super high, but the floor provides some certainty.
Exactly. Another way to look at value is through an asset-based lens, considering the regulated asset base, or RAB, which stood at $5.8 billion in 2023 for its Parisian assets, plus the market value of its international holdings. These all provide different angles to assess its intrinsic value.
So, what really moves the needle here? If you're an investor trying to understand what truly impacts ADP's intrinsic value, what are the most crucial operational and regulatory variables that you should be focusing on?
That's the million-euro question, isn't it? And it speaks to the core of what drives this business. If we break it down, there are a few key drivers. First and foremost, passenger traffic is the primary driver for both aeronautical and non-aeronautical revenue. More passengers generally mean more revenue. It's the foundational element.
Yes.
Second, sales per passenger, SPP, is absolutely critical for the high-margin retail business, particularly with the success of Xtime. Each additional euro of SPP has a disproportionately positive impact on profitability, as it comes with very high margins. It's where they can truly maximize value from each visitor.
The Xtime effect.
Absolutely. Third, airport tariffs, the outcome of the annual approval process, and most importantly, the next multi-year ERA will directly determine the revenue generated by the regulated aviation segment. This is a huge unknown right now, and its resolution will profoundly impact their core profitability.
The big regulatory question mark.
Precisely. And finally, the cost of capital, or WACC, the weighted average cost of capital, is a key input in the regulatory framework that determines the fair return ADP is allowed to earn on its regulated assets. Think of it as the minimum return ADP needs to make on its investments to satisfy its investors and lenders. A higher WACC, for instance, could justify higher tariffs, directly impacting profitability. These are the levers that truly drive the financial model.
So after all of this analysis, considering its dual nature, its challenges, and its opportunities, the big picture question remains. On an investment basis, is ADP undervalued, fairly valued, or overvalued today?
It's nuanced, as most complex companies are. On an EBITDA basis, ADP trades broadly in line with its peers, as we just discussed. So on that metric alone, you might say it's fairly valued. However, an investor might argue that this valuation doesn't fully reflect the superior growth profile offered by its international portfolio, which is expanding rapidly into very attractive markets like India. From that perspective, there's a case for relative undervaluation. Conversely, one could argue that the multiple is fair or even rich when considering ADP's higher leverage compared to peers like Zurich and Vienna, and crucially, the significant regulatory uncertainty surrounding its core Parisian assets, a challenge not faced to the same degree by all of its competitors.
So arguments on both sides.
Definitely. The investment puzzle with ADP is complex, requiring a deep understanding of its dual nature and the unique blend of stable, regulated income with ambitious, higher-risk growth. It's a balance of potential versus inherent friction points. Hashtag outro.
So, as we bring this deep dive to a landing, it's clear that Group ADP is a company truly in transition. It's balancing its stable, regulated Parisian gateway operations with ambitious, high-growth international ventures. We've seen the impressive success of its Xtime retail strategy, which is fundamentally changing how airports monetize passengers, but also the direct structural impact of the new French transport infrastructure tax on its core profitability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And looming large over it all is that critical regulatory uncertainty, particularly the absence of a long-term economic regulation agreement. Finally, the company is performing a delicate balancing act with its capital allocation, trying to juggle infrastructure investment, deleveraging shareholder returns, and international growth simultaneously. It's a complex, multi-layered story.
And this leaves us with a provocative thought to ponder. In a world that increasingly prizes predictable infrastructure, but also demands high growth and resilience, Group ADP's journey reflects a fascinating tension. The question isn't just how efficiently it connects passengers, but how it connects its diverse assets and strategies to navigate a globalized economy that demands both stability and dynamism, especially when its largest shareholder is also its regulator. What does this unique entanglement of state influence and commercial ambition tell you about the future of complex, government-influenced businesses in vital global industries?
Something to think about next time you're waiting for your flight or just contemplating how global commerce and connections truly work. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.